computer, Bag of Goodies is proud to present Your Time with Josie, with the star of your show, Josie Pasatino.
This is Your Time with Josie. We'll have a blast every Friday right here. I'll make it memorable for listeners all ages. So glad you joined me today.
Hey, everyone. Welcome, everyone listening live. And a shout out for those that are also in the chat room. I'm Josie from Your Time with Josie. Welcome, everyone. So glad you could all make it tonight. First, let's make sure everyone could hear us. Let me know in the chat room if you can hear us well. We've actually been having a little bit of technical difficulties with the line here. Yes, there's going to be an ad first. After the ad, you should be able to hear us perfectly. So let us know. All right. Looks like they got it. Make sure you can hear us. Alrighty, so we have a great show for you guys tonight. Here's what we will do in the next hour. We will have special guest Melissa Holland join us for an interview. She's a singer, songwriter, flutist, and keyboardist. Her style is a mixture of pop, folk, classical, and even a little jazz and country from time to time. We look forward to speaking with her tonight. We are bringing you more crazy items from eBay, an interesting fun fact segment, and one of our producers, Tina, will join me tonight for our chit-chat segment. We will bring you wild and crazy 911 calls and a great show tonight, so stay tuned for the whole show. You won't want to miss a thing. So I think our guest has arrived. Let's see here. Okay, as I said before, we have some technical difficulties here, so let's see here. Let's see if this is her. Melissa Holland, you here?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm on a cell phone, so I hope that we stay connected, but hopefully we will.
Yeah, no problem. We've actually been having a lot of technical difficulties already, so... let's pray everything works out.
Maybe it's because of the snow.
Yeah, we were thinking that too, so probably. we will actually start off with the interview, then we will get to some fan questions.
Okie doke.
Awesome. So can you tell us how you got started in the singing and songwriting business?
Well, actually, I've been doing music since I was a little kid. I started piano lessons when I was about 8, and I took flute lessons and was always in chorus and choir and all that stuff, and got very involved in it and wound up majoring in music and then going to graduate school in music and getting a degree. And eventually, even though I have a degree in flute performance, I went into songwriting in my late 20s and been doing that ever since.
Very, very cool. How old were you when you got started singing in front of people?
Well, I've always been performing. I mean, I was performing as a flutist and a person in a chorus from the time I was a little kid. I didn't actually start performing, doing my singing and songwriting stuff, my own personal stuff, till I was 30.
Ooh, gotcha. So how long, as you said, you're a flutist, how long actually... did you self-teach yourself, or did you take classes?
I took classes. I actually took private lessons for a long time. And then when I went to college, I was a music major, so I took a lot of music classes and performance classes and everything else. And my actual degree is in flute performance and classical music.
That is so cool. Who are your biggest musical influences?
Well, I think the Beatles. I was a young girl when the Beatles came out, and they really floored me and got me interested. I also saw the movie West Side Story when I was around the same age and thought the music was really beautiful and that I really wanted to be involved in music. Also, I don't know if you're a youngster, but I also very much was influenced by Joni Mitchell and Carole King. I don't know if you know who they are.
Ooh, yeah, no, I've never heard of them before. That is
You're
going
to have to
cool.
check them out. They're really good songwriters. Some of the songs that they've written, I know you've heard, like You've Got a Friend. And that's the one that goes, Winter, Spring, Summer, or Fall. You probably heard that one. And
a lot of things.
You should check them out. You would like them. They're old ladies.
That is so cool. I have to check it out. That's so cool. So your music covers several genres. Can you tell us a little bit about your work in the different genres?
Well, I was very much influenced by musicals when I was a kid. My parents exposed it to me, and I was like the star of all my high school musicals and stuff. So a lot of people say that, you know, my music sounds like stuff that could be in a musical. And I actually have written a one-woman show, but it's a lot of different styles. You know, I was trained as a classical musician. I listened to folk music and rock music growing up. I started my plays in school. So it's really a mishmash of lots of different things. It's kind of like whatever the subject of my song is will be the style that it's written in. But I think basically you could say it's probably basically pop music.
That's so cool. And I like that you, you know, do different genres because I love everything. So love it, love it.
Right. Whatever's good is good, you know. And when I was growing up, way before you were born, it was before they had radio stations that specialized in a certain style of music. So you would hear on one station all different styles. And so I grew up listening to all different styles of music. And some of it I didn't like and some of it I did, you know. So
yeah.
sort of put that all together and make up your own style, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I want to mention you were the principal flute with the Bronx Symphony Orchestra. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, as I said, I studied actually initially to become a classical flute player. So I had a degree in performance on flute. When I got out of graduate school, I started playing in orchestras here and there, you know, and did all the, you know, famous classical pieces by Brahms and Beethoven and all that stuff. The only problem with it is that it was very difficult to make a living at it. Unfortunately, in our country, musicians and artists don't get paid that well, you know. So I did that for a while, but it was very competitive and it was hard to make a living. So I went into teaching. I teach music in school now. And also wound up getting involved in songwriting and just sort of had more fun with that.
That is so cool. You do everything.
That is so awesome. If you're a musician, you have to kind of do a little bit of everything if you want to make a living at it, you know. Sort of somebody asks if you can do something, go, okay, and then you figure out how to do it.
Definitely, definitely. And also, I found you on a lot of social networking sites. Can you give some links to your websites and social networking sites so your fans can follow what you're doing?
Well, my website is melissamanholland.com, and you can find all sorts of information on me there and when I'm going to be performing. One thing I should say is that I was performing with a group for a while called Holland, Thompson, and Tooch. Those were our last names. We were a trio. So you can look us up, too, and get some of our songs. You can buy my music, download my music on CD Baby and Apple iTunes.
Awesome, awesome. And I posted in the chat room your links so everyone could check it out. Easy access.
That's great. that's great. I love what you're doing. I think it's so great.
Thanks so much. I love it. And I get to talk to so many great people like yourself.
How do you find all your people? That you find. I mean, did you just go around the internet and look, or what?
I actually, being 15, it's really not that easy, so I don't get a lot of yeses. But I do get some yeses. But what I do is I check out, you know, their managers and everything, and most of the people like the whole 15 idea. So so far, I've been
doing
good.
You're doing it at such a young age. I think you're like a real entrepreneur for a kid that your age. I teach school, so I know what kids are like. So I think it's very cool that you're doing this. And I saw you're going to have a veterinarian on.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be super fun. I'm very excited. We'll have a lot to talk about.
I have two.
That will be real cool.
Definitely.
Can you tell us about your Moving Away CD? I checked it out earlier. I love it.
Oh, well, thank you. That was my solo CD, the first one that I did. And most of my songs are semi-autobiographical. In other words, they're based on things that happened to me or somebody else. Mm-hmm. But of course, I take poetic license to make them a little more interesting. Normally when I perform with myself and the piano. If I have the luxury of performing with other people, I can also add some flute to it, which I still do. I still play the flute with other people. I'm working right now on a CD of a friend of mine, Kit Tolson, who you can Google, and he's really an amazing musician, and I'm doing flute and singing on that. So I always keep, you know, working on other people's music as well. But Moving Away was pretty much my solo thing. And he's here. He just played guitar. He's a hand. So, but anyway, so yeah, a lot of that has to do with my own issues and my own stories. And what I like to do in my music is tell a specific story that kind of has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And some people have said that on that CD, oh, it's kind of depressing, it's kind of sad. But if you listen very carefully, all the songs have a hopeful or happy ending, which is what I like.
Absolutely. I actually really do love songs that, you know, have a meaning and people could, you know, relate to in their own lives. I just love songs like that.
Well, I mean, that's what's kept me going over the years is that, you know, you don't make any money and you go to gigs sometimes and no one's there and you're like, why am I doing this? But every once in a while, you know, a person will come up to you and say, oh, my God, that song, that's my life, you know, and now I realize I'm not alone and you really helped me. And so, you know, you get a lot of reinforcement in that way. So some of my songs are very personal, you know, and some people think, oh, you're revealing all these things. But I think, you know, when you're an artist, you can do that for other people who can't do it themselves. You know what I mean? You can put it out in a way that's entertaining and meaningful at the same time.
Absolutely. It touches a lot of people. And that's also why people should get your CD, because it tells meaning and love it. You guys should all check it out. I'll put links to everywhere. So.
Yeah, well, my solo CD is Moving Away, and my group CD is just called Holland, Thompson, and Tooch. And there's three of us on there, and each of us have our own original songs. We sing lead on our own songs, and then we back each other up on the others, which is a lot of fun.
Ooh, that's so cool. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Check it all out. Are you actually, let's see here, I also, what is your process for songwriting? I've always wondered that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't start writing songs, like I said, till I was 30, even though I was a trained musician, and I just had nothing to say, you know, and I guess I reached a point in my life where I wanted to say things, and I think what happens is that you get an idea. You'll hear somebody say a sentence, or you'll get an idea of something that you want to write about, something that means something to you, and usually what I wind up getting is sort of like a hook, like the main idea and a musical thought that goes with it, and then you sort of take it from there. You know, you sort of, it's almost like you write backwards. You come up with the conclusion first, and then you write what leads up to it. And one of the things that happens to me a lot, and a lot of musicians will tell you the same thing, I get a lot of my ideas when I'm driving, and a lot of my ideas right before I wake up in the morning. In fact, one time, the song Moving Away on my CD, I dreamed the whole melody in my sleep. And I woke up and sang it into a tape machine. Yeah, I mean, I just heard it in my sleep, you know. And I think, I don't know, a lot of musicians will tell you that, but they hear stuff in their sleep and they hear stuff when they're driving or in the shower, you know, just at moments when they're not paying attention. It is, it's really cool. And then you have to kind of sit down and go, okay, I got to write this now, or I'm going to lose it, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've always wondered what the process of these, you know, songwriters have while writing, and I think that's just so cool.
Well, usually once you get an idea, it's like a door opens and all these ideas flow into you, and then you kind of have to go back and edit it. You know, so once I have an idea, the songwriting goes pretty quickly, you know, and comes pretty quickly. So, in fact, sometimes I'll be teaching school, I'll be in the middle of teaching first grade, and I get an idea, I'm like, oh, excuse me, kids, and I have to go and write something down right away, you know? So.
That is so cool. But I bet they all understand.
Well, they do, actually, and I'm going to tell my older kids, my older students, you know, fifth and sixth graders, about your show, because I think they'd really be into the whole idea of somebody that's, you know, relatively in their age group doing something like this. You know, I think that would be really cool for them to hear and also to get exposed to different kinds of music, you know, instead of the same old stuff that they hear on the radio. So
absolutely, thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think they would enjoy it very much. So
I hope so.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. Vicky in the chat room wanted me to say hi. She's from the UK.
Very cool. Wow, hi. What part of the UK?
I don't know. Vicky, right in the chat room, where you're from in the UK. Awesome. I love the chat room. So much fun.
My boyfriend's from England, so I'm just curious.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so cool.
He's a musician, too. He's from Buckinghamshire. Yeah, Buckinghamshire. So.
Oh, that's
it's
so
funny.
Cool.
I've gotten airplay in South Africa and other parts of the United Kingdom, like Australia and all that stuff. So they
oh,
have been
wow.
Have, yeah.
That is so cool. Have you ever, like, written with him before? Or do you know, sing with him?
Oh,
have
yeah.
you ever performed with him or sang with
oh,
him?
Oh, yeah, definitely we have. Yeah, in fact, like I said, I'm working on his CD with him now, and we actually have performed together. Yeah, Kit Paulson, look him up. Google him. You'll see all sorts of things about him. He's great.
Awesome. We'll check it out. Vicky wrote she's from Devon.
Devon?
Oh, in England.
Devon in England. Devon? Devon.
Okay.
Oh, Devon.
There
Devon.
You go.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's
sorry, pronounced it wrong.
How old is she?
I have no idea. Yeah, we got to ask her. We got to get everyone involved.
My boyfriend has relatives in Devon somewhere. I don't know where. Sidmouth, whatever that means.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, small world.
Right? That is so cool.
Now,
oh, she's 19.
She's 19? Are you from New Jersey?
No, I'm actually from Illinois.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize you were from Illinois. My goodness. So are you Eastern time?
Central time. Most
oh
of our viewers here are from Eastern time, so I've been getting
oh
into
God.
That.
Now, we're from
in
Illinois. What part of Illinois? I'm interviewing you now.
Yeah, I'm from Chicago.
Oh, okay. My nephew lives in Chicago, and he actually helps to run the Chicago Children's Chorus.
That is so cool. For real? That's awesome.
Yeah.
That
so
is
he
so
does
cool.
that. It's like
it's freezing now.
I can imagine. It's freezing here. This is New York, you know. So we have about 4 inches of snow here right now. So, but
most of it here is melted, but still freezing.
Yeah, well, like that's the Windy City, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Lives up
do you live
name.
Right in the city, or do you live in the city or the suburbs?
Suburbs.
Yeah, okay. Like
yeah.
Rockford or something? What? I'm trying to think of the different things. So what grade are
you
in?
I think... Oh, what grade?
Yeah.
Oh, sophomore.
I'm a teacher, so I'm all interested in, you know, the whole student thing, so... But
absolutely. And school has been going fabulous. I'm actually homeschooled.
Are you really?
That's,
oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
it's
cool.
Like I do it from home, except it's kind of like a remote program. I do it from home, but my school is in California. So it's like crazy.
Oh, okay. So you have like a home base.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
You know, at there. Well, that's good because that leaves you a lot of time to do this. You know, you can make your own schedule.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Have you always been homeschooled?
No. I actually did public school from kindergarten to 7th grade.
Uh-huh.
I just recently went into this.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I actually used to do choruses and stuff, too. A lot. So that's how I got interested in what you do, because I think that's so cool.
Do you ever do any writing?
Yeah, kind of a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not like professional or anything, but just for fun.
Well, it was
love
interesting
doing
because,
that.
Like I said, I never wrote any songs or any music before I was 30, but what happened was I got a job teaching chorus in school. And once I started teaching songs to kids, the whole structure of the whole thing started making sense to me, and I started thinking in song form. you know, so it was sort of like my teaching sort of got me into the writing aspect of things.
Absolutely, absolutely. Love it. I think what you do is so, so cool. And I didn't even know you were teaching music in schools. That's even more cool. I love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's sort of like when I graduated from graduate school, you know, like I said, it was very difficult as a performer to make a living. You know, you're sort of like, you know, who can live on $3,000 a year? Most people can't. So I went back and got my teaching certification, figuring, well, there's something I do, you know. So it's nice because I am spending my days doing music. I do have a little bit more time to do my own stuff. It's hard, you know, I work like a slave, but, you know, it's like I got my paycheck and then I have time to do my own music. And sometimes, like last year, my students actually performed a song of mine at our concert, so that was kind of cool.
That is so cool. That's awesome. So all your students, like, know what you're doing, and I bet they all love it. I bet they all like think it's the coolest thing ever.
They do. I mean, it's fun for them to go online. They can Google my name and see all this stuff about me. And they very much like my song about Barbie, which is on the Holland Thompson and Toots CD. I don't know if you've listened to it, but it's called Barbie 2000, and it's about the whole thing about the media making, you know, women are supposed to look so perfect just like Barbie, and that they should make more realistic Barbies, you know. And it's kind of a comedy song, but they enjoy it, so.
I actually just recently got a question from the chat room. They wanted me to ask you, when is your Barbie 2000 video going to be on YouTube?
Oh, I bet it's Michael. I bet it's my friend Michael. Well,
probably.
You know, I tried to get it on YouTube, and I got to the last step, and then it wouldn't let me put it on. So I think I need to get somebody else to help me get it on. I'm very computer challenged. When I was growing up, we had one computer in our whole school. And so I will do things that everybody says is very easy to do, and then when I do it, it doesn't work. So I'm working on it, and I will let everybody know on my website very soon when it's up there. So.
Awesome. I'll have to check it out. And Casey Fan for me asked the question, please tell her that I'm Michael from her class 2 years ago. Yep, it's Michael.
I knew he was going to listen. I let him know today on my website, and I knew he would listen. He's lovely. He's a lovely little boy. Actually, he's a big boy now. So, and one of my biggest fans. So, yes, I will let him know when it's up there. I think Michael will enjoy listening to the rest of your shows. I let him know about you because I thought it would be something he'd be into.
Yeah, he's been very excited. He's been on Twitter and super excited. We've been talking a little bit. And he actually recommended you to come on my show. I think that's really
cool.
You're
kidding. Oh, my God. He already knew about it. Well, it was him.
I guess
so. Oh, my gosh.
It's so cool.
That is so cool. That is great. I was glad that I got
and I'm like, ooh.
I'm glad I got you onto my Facebook, too, because a lot of people, friends of mine who are, you know, grown-ups, a lot older than you, were like, oh, wow, that is so cool that she's doing that, you know? So I think you'll, you know, it's great because, you know, when you're helping to give exposure to other people, you're giving exposure to yourself, too, and that's how it all works, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love meeting new people and stuff, and I make a lot of new friends. This way.
Yeah,
fun.
Exactly. And it's a good thing that you're doing, you know, like most kids are so stuck in what's being played on the radio and, you know, this and that and this and that. And it isn't until most kids get a lot older that they start exploring independent, different types of things, you know. So I think it's good that you're putting your foot in there and just saying, hey, there's more going on than just what you hear on the radio, which is basically playlists where they're forced to play the same stuff over and over again. And some of it's really great, you know. But there's all these people out there that you don't get to hear from unless you're on the internet, which is great.
Absolutely. And we hit such a big international fan base because it's on the internet. So we also like that, too. That's a good part.
Yeah. I know. It was so cool because once I put my music on the internet, I mean, there are people in South Africa saying, oh, I listened to your song. It was great. And in Belgium and in countries that I've never even heard of who've heard me, you know. So it's really fun, you know, to think that, wow, I'm spreading all over the world, even though I'm just living in my little house, you know.
Absolutely. Things go out fast.
They do.
I love Google. Love Google. So let's get back to here. Oh, here we go. Can you tell us a little bit about your I'm Not Bitter tour?
Oh, okay, yeah. You know, friends of mine for years have been saying, oh, you should write a musical, you know, because my songs sort of tell stories. And a friend of mine, who's also a singer-songwriter, Denise Jordan Finley, who may be somebody you want to interview, has a system of taking your songs and kind of stringing them together and putting dialogue in there. And I thought, gee, you know, there's stories that I want to tell. And what I basically did was came up with a bunch of songs of mine that all related to having relationships with people and, you know, sort of the ups and downs and the ins and outs and backs and forths of, you know, being in love and not being in love and getting together and breaking up and all those things. And I woke up on New Year's Day, I think maybe 2009, and just went, oh, my God. You know, I thought of all these songs, and I just wrote a whole dialogue that connected the songs together. So it's basically me just, you know, telling my story about what's been going on in my life in terms of relationship and, you know, sort of enhancing it through song. So it's been a lot of fun. I've done it, I think,
three
times.
That sounds like so much fun.
It is.
That
you know,
sounds
it's a
like
lot of fun.
So much fun.
And, it, you know,
well,
because,
I
go ahead.
I was just going to say, well, I think everything you do is amazing, and I keep going. I love it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
check
sort of
out.
Like, oh, definitely check it out, you know, and I'll let you know when I'm performing and stuff. But I think with the one-woman show thing, it's fun because I really also like to talk. Like, when I do a performance, it's like, it's my party, I'm the hostess, everybody come in, and let's have fun, and I'm going to run the whole thing, you know. So for me, it's great that I get to also talk as well as sing, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's what I like to do. And I'm a teacher. I get in front of the class. It's like I put on 6 shows a day for my kids, you know. And so I enjoy being in my little realm, you know, and having my little party. So.
Absolutely. Well, when you come to Illinois, you got to let me know because I have to come and see you live. Because I think that would be awesome.
You know, it's like I keep saying to my nephew, I'm going to come visit, I'm going to come visit. And now I have 2 reasons to come visit. So maybe I can even, with your help, maybe I can find a place to do a gig, you know, and
kill
2 birds with 1 stone. So
I'll let you know some venues.
Yeah, that
definitely.
Would be wonderful. I'd love it. Because then I can go out and visit my friend and my nephew and do some performing as well. So
sweet. That's awesome. So let's see here. What is the best advice? We're getting into some fun questions. What is the best advice you have ever received?
The best advice I've ever received was from a psychic I went to see when I was 30 years old. And he said to me, don't care what anybody thinks of you. Not anybody. And he must have said it to me 4 or 5 times, you know. And if you're going to be a performer or an artist of any kind, it's really hard because people are judging you all the time. And then if you take that to heart, it's sort of like you get discouraged. So I keep reminding myself when I get discouraged or when somebody criticizes me, don't care what anybody thinks of you. You know, it's like you're you and you're doing what you do and don't care. You know, and I think that's the best advice I ever got.
Absolutely. That's really good advice that everyone could listen to. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just go with your heart and go with your gut and keep doing it. And, you know, just don't worry so much about what other people think, you know, because you're going to find people who are into what you're into. So.
Absolutely. And that's the big thing. Always keep your head up, keep your chin up high, and just keep going.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. Keep plowing through, you know.
Definitely, definitely. Some more fun questions. Let's see here. What is your favorite career memory so far? The biggest thing
boy.
That you think is awesome.
You know, it's hard to say because I have teaching memories and I have performing memories. I think the best performing memory I ever had was I was performing in a Barnes & Noble, you know, in like the cafe type place there. And I remember I was performing, and I had to do like 3 hours, and the last hour I was like performing songs that weren't even really finished, you know. And I sang this one song, and as I was singing, I'm thinking, this isn't really finished, and it's not a very good song, and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the show, this woman came up to me from Greece, and she was crying. And she said, that song you sang about starting over and finding a new apartment, she goes, I, too, have been in that place. I got divorced, and I moved here from Greece, and I'm going to school, and I'm starting over. And I'm so glad I'm not alone. You know, I know for me that I'm not alone. And I remember thinking, this is like my worst song. It's like not even this. You know, and it's not even very good. But yet somehow this helped this person, you know. And so
yeah.
I think that was my favorite performing moment. Let's see, my favorite teaching moment. I have a lot of favorite teaching moments, but one
yeah.
of the nicest things that ever happened was, like, I guess I was just doing a normal first grade class, and the kids were lining up to leave, and this one little girl looked at me and she said, "You're magic." You know, and I was like, "I am?" You know, and I just thought, wow, you know, there's something to remember when you're discouraged, that there's a little
yeah.
kid who thought you were magic, you know? It's pretty incredible, you know?
That is. That
yeah.
is so cool. Love
oh,
it, love
it. One of my favorite performing moments was that I've been able to perform with Pete Seeger several times. The folk
Ooh.
Singer, do you know who he is? Or your generation?
I don't think so. I'm going to check it out.
Check him out. He's 93 years old. He was one of
Ooh.
The very first people to promote American traditional folk songs. You know the song, "This Land
oh.
is Your Land, This Land is Mine"?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh,
well,
yes.
that was written by Woody Guthrie, and Pete Seeger was a friend of Woody Guthrie's. And he spent his life singing folk songs and spreading that out to different people, but also fighting for good causes, you know, for equal rights. He helped clean up the Hudson River, all this stuff. So he really is a legend,
yeah.
and more people, you know, my generation, your parents' generation would know who he is, you know. But anyway, he lives in my town. He lives in Beacon, and I see him at the gas station at the post office. But, you know, I've also been able to perform with him a few times, which is really great. You know, it's like you performing with, I don't know, somebody famous who you like. I don't know who it would be. But he's very cool.
Oh, wow. That would definitely be the top.
definitely. So
that's so cool. Let's see here. Some more fun questions. What do you like to do for fun?
Actually, one of the things I like to do for fun the most is watch movies. I'm very into especially old movies, and I have Turner Classic Movies on my TV, and I'm totally addicted and just watch them whenever I can. So that's what I'm into.
Ooh, what's
like
your favorite movie?
I think, like I said before, the movie of the musical West Side Story is one of my favorites. The Wizard of Oz is one of my favorites. I mean, it's great. It's like a perfect movie. In fact, I had a publishing deal with the nephew of the guy that wrote the music for The Wizard of Oz. So this guy was trying to shut my music for a while. So that was kind of cool. It was like, wow, you know, the nephew of this guy who wrote Somewhere Over the Rainbow likes my songs, you know. But those are my favorite. Yeah, I mean, it's like totally cool. And I have tons of songs, you know, that I love. But I would mention those because I think those are ones that most people know. So
Absolutely.
I see live music a lot of the time. I like going to see people who aren't known. You know, I like going around to local clubs seeing who the artists are and who the people are and what they're doing. You know, I think it's really fun.
Definitely. I can agree with that. I love, you know, meeting new people and seeing what other people could do. I think that's so much fun.
Yeah, definitely. Like, what's going on that I don't know about, you know?
Absolutely. Let's see here. Kayla in the chat room asks, ask her if she's ever done any acting.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. I was in junior high and high school. I was in all the plays and stuff like that. In fact, I did dabble with becoming an actress as opposed to a musician, but then got really into music. My brother is actually an actor and a musical director out in Los Angeles.
Ooh, that's so cool. You've done it all.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm bad at math. I'm not good at math and sports, so I haven't done that, but artistically, I've done a lot, so.
That is awesome. Well, keep going. I want to congratulate you with, like, everything that you've done.
Oh, thank you. I think it's so great. You are so cool. You got some great parents, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I can agree with that.
I have a daughter who's 20, so I know how hard it is to raise kids. So,
my mom's over here just, like, with a big grin on her face.
Right. I always, you know, because I know from teaching school too. You know, it's like it's hard. It's a hard job, you know, and so it's really great that you're doing all that you're doing and being such a grown-up kid, you know.
Well, I want to thank you so much, and I also want to thank you for coming on my show. That's so cool.
I'm really glad that I was able to do it. I know. I have fun talking to you, too. I love it that, you know, I kind of feel like even though I'm of an older generation, there really isn't much of a generation gap anymore, I don't think, you know. I mean, just the fact that young kids like Michael are listening to my music, it's like, well, cool. You know, that's a generation apart. That's really great, you know. So I appreciate it so much.
Well, I appreciate you coming on here, and we actually have a few more questions for you, if that's all right.
That's great.
Awesome. Here we go. Where would you like to see your career 5 years from now?
That's 5 years from now. That's interesting. You know, it's hard because my idea of where my career should go has changed over the years. I mean, I used to want to be like, get a record deal and be famous and all that stuff. And I think now what I'd like 5 years from now is to be able to make my living writing, recording, and performing. You know, in other words, like I can stop my teaching, which I love. I'll always do a little bit of teaching, like private lessons, but to be able to make my basic living doing my own music, you know, and whether anybody knows about it or not or whether I'm famous or not, I don't care, but making my living as a musician is something that I'd like to be able to do, you know, strictly performing, recording, and writing.
Absolutely, and you should always follow everything that you're doing because you're doing great.
Right. I mean, somebody told me that just like rather than aiming for something, just say that you're already doing it. Just say, oh, I'm making my living as totally doing my music and just keep saying it, you know, in the present tense. So that's what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see here. Here's a good one. If you had a chance to perform anywhere in the world, where would you like that to be?
Anywhere in the world, where would I like that to be? Probably
that's a tough question.
At the Grammy Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've actually gone to see them twice because I'm a member of the Academy, but, yeah, I'd like to perform at the Grammy Awards, you know, and just have that kind of exposure. I think that'd be neat.
That would be neat. That would be super cool.
Yeah. I actually saw Eminem in person at the Grammy Awards. It was very exciting.
That would be exciting.
Yeah.
Love that. Last question. Did you make a New Year's resolution? And if so, what is it?
Well, believe it or not, my New Year's resolution is to read books. I tend to not read enough. I watch TV too much, and but I really want to read more. I think that's important not just for my – well, it's important for my writing. I mean, reading helps you write better, you know, and reading also takes you to a different place and takes you out of whatever problems you may be having. And so, yeah, that's my New Year's resolution, to read. And I recommend that to everybody. Yeah.
Great resolution. Absolutely. We should all grab a book tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, the computer's great, you know, but also reading books are great because it can help you to use your imagination and, you know, takes you away. Yeah.
Agreed. I just want to thank you again so much for coming on the show, and I'd love to have you back some other time. I'd love it.
Let me know about venues in Chicago, and maybe if I'm going to do that, I'll get back on the show and let you guys know what's going on.
Definitely. We'll let you know. Thank you so much. I had so much fun.
Great. Okay, me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye. Awesome. I had so much fun talking to Melissa Holland. She is so great. Such a sweet, sweet woman. And I hope to have her on again. Before we get to our segment, I just want to give a shout-out to my cousin, Kayla. She's actually listening and in the chat room. This is her first time. So, hey, Kayla. Wanted to give her a quick shout-out. Love you. Fun facts. All right. So we do have a lot of good fun facts coming up.
Your time, fun facts.
I did not know that.
That's our new fun facts segment theme song. So here we go. Did you know the inventor of Vaseline ate a spoonful of it every morning? Okay, that stuff is thick. Don't know how he didn't choke. Also, a can opener was invented 48 years after the can. So how would they get cans open? If someone knows that, please type it in the chat room or call in and let us know. That's something I'd really like to know. Next, rubber bands last longer when refrigerated. Don't know how long we would need them to last, but go run and put all of your rubber bands in your fridge. Oh, yeah. Then, non-dairy creamer is flammable. Keep everything dangerous away from your coffee. I'll think twice next time before I sit in front of the fireplace with a cup of coffee. Whew, scary thought. Next, whispering is more wearing on your voice than speaking in a regular tone. So all you kids that have been told lower your voice and whisper, now there's reason not to. Okay, that's not good. Anywho, more than 40,000 parasites and 250 types of bacteria are exchanged during a typical French kiss. Yes, you heard me correctly. Next, right-handed people on average live 9 years longer than people who are left-handed. Next, each year approximately 250,000 American husbands are beaten by their wives. And then next, Baskin-Robbins once made ketchup ice cream. Okay, I like ketchup, but is there really a reason to mix it up with ice cream? Ew, but I don't know. That's just me. So those are our fun facts for you today. Hope you guys enjoyed them so much. So
your turn, fun facts.
I did not know that.
Literally, I did not know them. Now we have our other segments that you all love, and I want to introduce one of our producers, Tina, to join me as we make you chuckle about funny 911 calls. No serious injuries, just funny stuff. That's our disclaimer. Now, please welcome Tina. You there?
I'm here. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
We hear you perfectly.
All right, with all this phone stuff tonight, I'm surprised. So if the phone dies out, let me know if I'm talking and nobody's hearing.
Absolutely. Or it just looks like I'm talking to myself.
Which is okay. It's all good. All right, it's time to have some fun. So we've got what? We've got 911 call fun?
Oh, yeah. This is going to be good. You know, we always love hearing about these on television, on radio, everywhere. But now we've got some fun ones for you today. So will you help me go down this list?
Oh, I'm going to help you with this list.
It's a big list.
How many do you think we're going to make it through before I start cracking up hysterically and can't talk? Normally I only make it down 2.
I think you're actually going to do 1.5.
All right, 1.5 this time before I laugh so hard that nobody can hear us anyway. Okay.
It's true. All right, so you ready?
Uh-huh.
All right. A boy who called because he had an emergency, which was needing help with his math homework.
That, you know, that can be an emergency. I don't know. I mean, I've sat down with a couple math books, and I'll tell you what, when I was going through college and had to do a couple of those statistic classes, oh, I had an emergency. I was ready to call just about anybody. So I think that's legit. I say that's legit. How about you, Jill?
I think it works.
I think it works. I would do that.
I'm in school, obviously, and, you know, math is always going to be there in our lives. I could see it happening. So the next one we have, there was a grown woman who called and needed to know if it was Tuesday or Wednesday because she couldn't remember. I mean, we all have these moments, but really, would we call 911 for these moments? What do you say?
I tell you what, we have all had these moments where, we've all had these moments where, you know, we don't remember what day it is. I know I had a couple of them over the last couple of days. But in all honesty, who is it that decides that 911 is the place to call when you can't remember what the day is? people are crazy. I'm telling you, people are crazy. All right, what else do we have?
All right. So a man called 911 wanting to be connected to Domino's Pizza.
He had the munchies. What could you say? You can't blame the guy for having the munchies.
It's true. It's true.
The police are coming. Now we've done it.
munchies emergency. That's what that line should be called. Please press 1 if you have a munchies emergency, please. Alrighty. Next we have a woman called 911 because her burger at a fast food restaurant was not made correctly. She ordered it 4 times and didn't get it the way she wanted it, so she wanted the police to come down and take care of that.
Okay. I tell you what, I heard this one on video, and this woman was mad. I mean, she was mad that she could not get a burger the way that she wanted it. She wanted the police to come down there. The dispatch lady got a little bit aggravated, and she was like, you need to just go back in there, act like a grown-up, get your money back, go someplace else, and get a different burger. It was hysterical. This lady was PO'd that the police were not coming to the burger place.
I could see that. You know, some people, you know what? Some people take their burgers seriously nowadays. I don't know. Next we have a good one. A woman called 911 because she was cooking her first turkey for a holiday and didn't know how to do that. Okay, we have all had that problem, and I know you've had that problem.
Okay, you know what? When you have to cook that very first bird, okay, I realize that it's just a bird, but it is a big bird.
It's a big one.
When you're looking at that thing for the first time and you're looking at your oven, it's a little bit scary. You know, you got, what, 10, 15 people coming for dinner. You can't have them starving.
It's a scary turkey.
Yeah, if you screw it up, how do you fix it 6 hours later? You're in trouble. It's all over. So that could be scary. I might call 911 for that myself.
I wouldn't. It could be a little embarrassing. Okay, ma'am, I will thank you for the warning, but I guess I will not be coming to your house to try that turkey. So the next one is a man called 911 because someone took a bite out of his ham and cheese sandwich he left on the counter. And this is the second time it happened, and now he was sick of it.
Okay, this is hysterical. Seriously, this man, he obviously has got some issues. Does he have kids in the house? Does he have a dog? Did he forget that he took a bite of the sandwich before he went someplace else? I mean, really.
What's he thinking? I mean, the police would handcuff him and get the evidence and do a DNA test on the ham and cheese sandwich to see who it was? I mean, I don't know what these people are thinking.
That is a riot. People are crazy, I swear. Okay.
Absolutely. Next one is a man called, okay, this one we were cracking up at. A man called 911 because he baked some illegal drugs into his brownies, and he was calling because he thought he was dead. Okay, what, did his ghost return from the grave to call 911? Is it a little too late at that point?
I think he said something like, everything is slowing down, like everything in my life looks like it's slowing down or going in slow motion. I think I'm dead. You need to come out here because I'm pretty sure that I'm dead. So I'm sure that the dispatch operator was very, very quickly.
And laughing.
Yeah, was very quickly able to say, pretty sure you're not dead, dude. You're talking to me.
I mean, unless your corpse came from the dead, which is probably not really going to happen. All right. Next. I knew you were going to laugh at that one. Next, we have a woman called 911 because her husband wouldn't let her watch one of her favorite TV shows.
So that's taken the fight over the remote a little bit too far. And realistically, that's the only TV you have in your house. Well, maybe it is the only TV you have in the house, but, you know, there's ways of getting that remote. Those women that have been married for a long time, you know how to get that remote. That's all I'm saying.
Duly noted. All right, next one we have a man called 911. Because he didn't have anything to get the ice off of his car windshield. Okay.
This guy was mad. He was like, seriously, you guys are not going to come down here and help me? You are not going to help me get this ice off. What am I supposed to do? The lady kept telling him that that is not a police emergency. If you sit there long enough, the defrost will take it off or find something else with a straight edge. He was like, a straight edge, so you're saying you're not coming? Like six times. He's like, you're saying you're not coming?
You know what? You know what? Police dispatchers must have a lot of, you know, time. I mean, not time. A lot of, you know, patience. Because if it was me, I'd probably be like, are you kidding me? You don't know what to do. But, you know, that's just me. Next, a woman called 911 because she rented a movie from Blockbuster, and on the movie, a man was beating up another man, and she wanted to report it. Oh,
okay, so seriously, she rents a movie from Blockbuster, right, Josie? She rents this movie from Blockbuster.
Oh, boy.
She sees a fight, like one guy beating up another guy on the movie that she's watching, and she calls 911 because they need to do something about it. Okay, so the 911 dispatch operator told her, if the movie is bothering you, ma'am, turn it off.
There's an off button.
And she's like, oh. Okay. So silly.
Oh,
silly.
Man. You know, sometimes I feel like these people do that to get on, you know, the news and stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I have that hunch. Next one is, okay, so this one, even though dumb, at least realized she was being dumb by the end of the phone call. This is hilarious.
This is funny.
So this is very funny. So a woman calls 911 because she locked herself in her car. And the battery was dead, so she said she couldn't get out. The 911 operator told her to try the handle, and she said she did, and it is not working. Then the 911 operator asked her if she can see the top of the lock knob on her car. Then all you hear from the caller is, oh, my God, I am so embarrassed. I am out of the car.
Okay, this was actually cute because it sounded like an elderly lady. It really
did.
I don't know if it was or not, but it sounded like it. And she was just the sweetest thing. And you could tell she wasn't trying to pull a prank. You could tell she wasn't just some weirdo.
I think she's really serious.
She was really serious because the battery was dead. She had in her head that she couldn't get out of the car with the automatic locks. So it was so funny because you could just hear her voice. If you guys could ever find this online, you have to listen to it because this woman just looks at the lock knob. You could just see her doing it. You could just see her looking at the knob of the lock, and she goes, oh, my goodness, I'm so embarrassed. Okay, I'm out of the car.
I feel bad for her.
At least she figured it out and she wasn't all mad like all the rest of them.
Right.
It was funny. That one was actually really cute. It was cute.
That is cute.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now these get even funnier. Will you be able to handle it?
Okay, I'm thinking I can handle it. I'm good.
All right. So an hysterical man calls 911 and says his wife is pregnant, and the contractions are 2 minutes apart. The 911 operator asks if this is the woman's first child. The hysterical husband yells into the phone, no, you idiot, this is her husband.
Okay, all right, come on now. All right, so you haven't had a child yet, Josephine, so thank goodness I'm not old enough yet to be a grandmother. But I will tell you that this is hysterical because at that moment when you realize that the time is finally here for this baby to start arriving, you panic. So the woman panics because she's obviously in pain. The guy's panicking because he doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how much you practice. There's a lot of panic going on. So you can see at that moment how he would clearly misunderstand what this lady was saying. It is hysterical. That was so funny. I was just cracking up because you can almost picture what's happening at that moment when you listen to this 911 tape. It is a riot.
You can picture it.
It is very funny. Very funny.
That's a good one.
It's very cute.
Very. The next one is, a man calls 911 because he is having trouble breathing and needs help. Sounds legit, right? Well, then it goes on. He says to the operator, I think I'm going to pass out. The operator tells him an ambulance is on the way and asks him if he has asthma. He says no. So the operator asks him what he was doing before he started having trouble breathing. And, oh, yes, he says, I was running from the police.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
not exactly the smartest thing to do is call 911 when you're running from the police, I'm just saying.
Not a smart plan.
Not that I encourage running away from the police, but not a good plan. Not a good plan at all.
It's true. Not a good plan. Not a good plan. Yeah. Exactly. All right, next one. A woman calls 911 and says that the two police were just at her door, and she needs them to come back. The operator asks why she needs them back. Is the emergency not solved? She said, no, but I may have another emergency. The operator is trying to figure out what she is talking about. Then the woman finally admits she wants one of the officers back because she thought he was cute. Well, believe it or not, they went back, not to get hooked up with a date, but to arrest the woman for misuse of the 911 system. That's one way.
She got the cute officer back just in time to arrest and handcuff her and throw her in the back of a squad car. I don't think that's what she had in mind.
I don't think that's what she meant.
Yeah, well, maybe she did.
Yeah. I don't know. Good question. Good question.
That was funny.
That's a question that will be unsolved.
That's an
unsolved
question. I bet
she
was smiling either way. I don't care.
I think so.
We've got some awesome sound effects tonight.
We're rocking the sound effects. All right. Now, we saved these last two for the end because they are our favorites. Everyone works behind the scenes of Your Time with Josie just love these ones. So here we go. A man calls 911 and says that his wife got bit by an animal and she needs an ambulance. The 911 operator asks him for the address, and he tells them. The 911 operator asks the man to spell the name of the street, and the husband pauses because he doesn't know how to spell the street name of his address. So he says, I will drag her over to Oak Street, and you could pick her up there.
Okay, I had a problem with the word drag. You're going to drag your wife over to a street that you can spell or that someone's not going to ask you to spell. That is hysterical. That's funny. That made me laugh. Oh, people are not good. Okay, go ahead.
Crazy. Crazy. I think it's even more crazy because it's true. It's based on a true story.
It is actually a true story.
It is.
We're not making this up.
No.
All right, so is this our last one for this segment?
Yes, this is our last one.
Aw,
this was too much fun.
This was too much fun. We'll have to do this again.
I agree. So last one. A hysterical woman calls and says, the mailman is on the floor and not breathing. All right, you know, you would call 911 for that. 911 dispatch tells her to calm down and to tell them what happened to the mailman. Now she is screaming the whole time she is on the phone. She tells the operator that she gave him a scratch-off lottery ticket and he won $200,000. So the operator said, well, did he pass out? And the woman says, no, he didn't faint. I kept smacking him in the head with a metal frying pan so that I could take the winning ticket back for myself.
Okay, I think that one totally speaks for itself right there, don't you, Josie?
I absolutely agree.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so warning to everybody, watch what you give people, or watch when people give you something, because, you know, if they want it back, just throw it at them and run.
It's true.
Those metal skillet pans are really heavy. I'm surprised he was alive at all after that, to be quite frank with you.
Well, they didn't say if they were alive or not.
Well, none of these were serious things. We didn't want to joke about that. So
yeah, absolutely.
So we're thinking that.
We're thinking it's all good.
With the dude is alive and just had a bump on his head. But
absolutely, I hope so.
Well, she probably got arrested, so I'm guessing that he got the ticket. Unless it was brought up in some sort of evidence. I don't really know. Okay, just kind of curious.
Yeah, that's a good question.
They never told us.
Very, very good question. So apparently you can be arrested for misusing the 911 system. So only call with real police emergencies, everyone. Please, 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 please make sure you only call for emergencies because police are very busy. You know, they don't want to be dealing with silly stories like these ones that we just told you. So those are our crazy 911 calls. Thank you guys so much for joining me. And Tina, thanks so much for helping me through this list.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for letting me come out and have a little bit of fun with you. I love the fun segments.
So agreed.
I have to do those with you. Those are a lot of fun.
They are a lot of fun and a lot of laughs.
Awesome, awesome. And now you've got some eBay, right?
Yeah, we have some eBay items, everyone.
Everybody's favorite.
Absolutely.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks so much. So before I do, I want to give a shout out to Chris. Hey, Chris. Hi. Thanks so much for listening. So now we have another amazing, crazy items on eBay segment. So let's get started. So someone is selling their air guitar for $10. I wonder how you'll know if you've got it, if you can't see it. Questions. Now, a broken iPod is selling for $16. And why, you ask, would someone sell a broken iPod? Well, it will be shipped out in pieces so that the person selling it can get enough money to buy a new one. Crazy man or financial genius? I don't know. So that was my thinking moment of today. Next one we have is a kit so you can look like you have a Darth Vader private part for $3.25, and that's all I will say about that one. Then the next one is nothing. That's right, you heard me. Someone is selling nothing for $6.57, and believe it or not, there are actually bids. We checked it out before the show. So let's see. Then we have a New York school yearbook from 1983 for $17.16, an ad space on a man's bald head for $30,100. So if you need some space for an ad, might as well ask a bald man. Then an emergency paperclip, because you never know when you're going to have a paperclip emergency, for 99 cents. Next, you know Your Time with Josie always has to have the word toilet or toilet paper in, you know, a sentence always. So here's the next one. Absolutely. Definitely. A roll of toilet paper with the word pulse written on it for $10.50. I'm sure there is some meaning behind that, but I don't want to know what it is. I'm sorry. Then the next one is the right to destroy a limo for $50. That one scares me a little bit. Then a one white tube sock for $1.50. So that when you lose one sock, I guess you will have a replacement? I don't know. So those are the eBay items we found in our search. So run out and get your bid on them right away. I bet whoever you want to have these, I wouldn't. Okay. Next, we have some upcoming guests. Woo! So here's our list. We have two guests on January 14th. First half hour is Cassandra Lee, who does an amazing job setting up concerts. And on our next half hour after that is Dr. Sean Messonnier. He's a veterinarian. And has an award-winning radio show on Martha Stewart Radio. That's going to be an awesome show. Then on January 21st, we also have two guests, TV movie actress from the Disney Channel series Jonas and from Mean Girls 2, Nicole Anderson, and also recording artist Danica Holmes. Then on January 28th, we welcome back CMT recording artist Emma Jacob. Looking forward to her return to the show. She is a Your Time with Josie favorite. Then on February 4th, we have two guests, singer Jennifer Mead, who blends R&B, soul, hip-hop, funk, gospel, and pop into her music. We also have singer and actress Celeste Catalog. That will be an exciting show. Then on February 11th, we have singer-songwriter Marissa Lander. And then on February 18th, we have Xavier X-Man Paul. He is amazing with over 25 years of voiceover experience, but that's not all he does. He also does stand-up comedy, character voices, announcing, and acting. You've all heard him on such commercials as Burger King, Gatorade, and Foot Locker, to name a few. That'll be a great show. I just want to thank everyone so much for tuning in tonight to make our show so much fun. Before we... Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys, so much. And before we get off here and end the show, we just want to let everyone know to join our forums on www.josieshow.com, J-O-S-I-E, show.com. We have so many great topics that you can chat in there and meet new people on our community forums on Your Time with Josie. We have a lot of fun things that I write as well in there, so check it out. Also, our 24-hour contact line, you can call or text our contact line anytime, and we'll try to put our messages on air, the ones that we receive. Shout-outs and questions, comments for upcoming guests are always welcome. Use the widget below to call for free that is on the website, or you can just call this number, 1-224-208-8315, and it's all on the website at www.josieshow.com. We have so many new website features that you guys can all check out, along with an arcade that is so popular. And I can't forget our Cafe Press store. It's in the store tag. You just click here, it'll say. And you can check out everything from hats, iPods, covers, stuff. I mean, so many things, dog clothes, everything. So that's your one-stop shop for all Your Time with Josie. So I hope you guys have a great weekend. And I will see you guys next week when we have special guests Cassandra Lee and Dr. Sean Messonnier. Please come back soon. Bye, guys.